Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm your host, Luke Mathers. Brian Kelly is off today, but I'm holding down the fort here at the Devil Radio 92.7 Studios. You can also be listening at WTTN 1580 AM or take us with you wherever you go by downloading the Devil Radio app. Go to your local app store, either Apple, Google Play Store, whatever you use on your phone, and download the Devil Radio app. You can take us with you, 24/7, stream wherever you go. And you can also give us a call, 844-967-2789. Join this great show. So just had Dan Schaefer on from the Recombobulation area. Dan's great, doing local independent journalism out of the Milwaukee area, covering topics in Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin. And I always really appreciate Dan's takes. I go to, I'm not in the Milwaukee area anymore. I'm here in Madison, but I'm from Milwaukee. I've got roots in Milwaukee. That's where my family is. And Dan does some excellent reporting out of the Milwaukee area. So anytime I need a Milwaukee spin on a story going on here in Wisconsin, I go see what the Recombobulation area is putting out there, because Dan's a great source for information in that regard. Up later this show, in the last segment of the day, we're going to be joined by Sean Fentonplace, who has been on the Dueling Tangents before. Sean's going to give us a little update as well about soft infrastructure. Sean is the chapter president for the Wisconsin chapter of Main Street Alliance here in Wisconsin, doing some great progressive small business advocacy. So Sean had a round table with Governor Tony Evers earlier this week, and he's going to be joining us here on this great show a little bit later in the hour before we have the Devil's Advocates on. So the Devil's Advocates is up next at 3 p.m. And you'll be getting some news of the headlines from Crudy today about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. So if you're looking for some updates about that, stay tuned after this great program. Crudy will be updating everybody about what's going on with Kyle Rittenhouse's trial down in Kenosha. But like I said, you can give us a call here at Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. Talking infrastructure, a few different things. I got another topic I want to get to, but at first, we've got Mark from the SAC joining us. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, well, to remind folks out there that it's Milwaukee County gives out, pays far more out than it gets back in terms of benefits from the state. That's something that kind of gets lost, because there's probably a lot of these smaller communities out there that in the red, the regions of red, that get back from the state far more than they kick in. And that's coming from somebody who came from the far northern corner of the state, nearly as far north as you can go, north and west you can go in Wisconsin, is where I'm from originally. And people should, and the politicians need to be reminded that, apparently, that Milwaukee County does pay a lot in taxes, and they should actually get some benefit back from that. They can't be ignored. I mean, it's popular for Robin Voss to beat on Milwaukee, because apparently Milwaukee's their favorite.
It's their favorite boogeyman.
Whipping boy.
Yeah, Milwaukee's the boogeyman in a lot of cases, Mark. When it comes to any policy here in the state that could maybe disproportionately benefit Milwaukee, even though, like you said, Milwaukee is a huge economic driving force for the state. Anything that slightly benefits them, it's very difficult to get some Republican support when it comes to the Wisconsin legislature. And you're right, it's a whipping boy and a boogeyman that Milwaukee unfortunately gets a pretty bad rap on that regard.
And Robin Voss, people should be reminded that how much did Robin Voss get back in COVID benefits for his factory, during the pandemic, and he wasn't complaining about him receiving that largesse from the quote unquote socialist government. So that's all. I mean, that Robin Voss needs to be called to task each time he opens his lying little mouth, and when he's got his nose out of Donald Trump's backside. But that's the point I'd make.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, appreciate you calling
in. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. Appreciate you calling in this afternoon. And yeah, it's socialism. It's not called socialism, Mark, when it benefits them. Then when they like the handouts, like the PPP is what they would refer to a handout in any other regard. But it was beneficial for them. And for a lot of businesses, it got them through the pandemic, because it was a really tough time. And in tough times, people need the government to be able to come through on those issues, and the Paycheck Protection Program did that for a lot of small businesses and large businesses. Some large businesses got hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in PPP loans that maybe not were in need of them, like some of the small businesses that did receive them. But it's not socialism when it's helping them out. They only refer to it as socialism when all of a sudden people that they dislike or disagree with are receiving those government dollars. And that's really what it comes down to. And so, I think this infrastructure, it's going to be an unprecedented investment in Wisconsin. We got Doobie is texting in from Edgerton. You can be like Doobie. Give us a text or call at 844-967-2789. But Edgerton, Wisconsin is receiving the lead pipe replacement, or they're already working on lead pipe replacement, according to one of our texters in as well. So it's not just happening in Madison, Milwaukee. It's happening in surrounding areas as well, and it should be happening all across the state. But unfortunately, we haven't had the funds invested in the community here in Wisconsin until this point. And so I'm really excited to see the tangible benefits that the hard infrastructure, so-called hard infrastructure bill, should be delivering on now that it is expected to be signed by President Joe Biden later this week. And so one of the other topics that I wanted to get into before we dive into soft infrastructure, like I said, Sean Fettenplace of Main Street Alliance will be joining us at the last segment of the day. But one of the things that's been on my mind and what I wanted to talk about, and originally Brian had his appointment scheduled for Monday, and so I wanted to bring this up, but it's still timely, and it's a couple days old now, but daylight savings is really throwing me off. And I'd like to hear, I guess daylight savings isn't throwing me off. It's really the absence of daylight savings that is throwing me off. So we ended daylight savings time on Sunday morning. This is about the fourth day without it. We didn't have it Sunday. We didn't have it Monday. No Tuesday. And now we're into Wednesday. And so really, I'm a morning person. I wake up at pretty early. I beat the sun up every morning, even when we're in daylight savings time. But I'm an early riser because I head to work here at the Devil Radio Studios, pull the news and produce for Matt Flynn Direct in the morning. And daylight savings ending is not nearly as bad as daylight savings beginning. But that's what it really comes down to me is the switching back and forth. The dark hours that we are now going to be faced with at 4:30, creeping as we go to the winter solstice, at 4 p.m. really is when it will be. It's just almost depressing, and it's frustrating, and I feel like it's a little outdated and archaic, and so daylight savings, or the absence of daylight savings, is really what I wanted to talk about as my second tangent today, and so. Really excited to see big things happening with the infrastructure bill in Congress. But my thought is, what could be another big thing that could have a dramatic effect on our lives that Congress could also improve on? And it's a movement that's been somewhat gaining some steam in recent years. But what if permanent daylight savings was always an option? What if the first week of November every year, we, instead of falling back, just next spring, come March, we go to daylight savings, we spring forward, and then we never fall back again. What do you think about that? Give me a call, 844-967-2789. Because my thought on this is daylight savings time is good. I like a 9 p.m. sunset in the summer months. It is nice to have that amount of sunlight. And I understand why we started doing it. It was an idea originally drummed up by Ben Franklin and then implemented later on once Ben Franklin had passed away. I believe it wasn't until the mid-1800s is when daylight savings first got implemented. But we've got this model that you spring forward in the spring and you fall back in the fall to extend the growing period for farmers. And it makes sense when there's a very large agricultural population that the United States in the 1800s was agrarian. It was an agrarian model for a country. And so it made sense because we wanted to extend the harvest period as long as we could. But now we have all this technology. You can light up an entire field with with technology of light, like the combines they're going and harvesting these days are not in need of sunlight. They can harvest with the headlights and the giant high beams that they can put on. And so my thought is, why don't we just not fall back next year? But let me know what you think. I got Andy from Beaver Dam giving me a call now. Andy, what's on your mind? What do you think about this topic?
Well, Luke, I'm in full agreement with you on that idea. I think that's what we should do. I guess it depends on your disposition. I have a friend that says it messes up her biological clock, you know, that she jumping back and forth, you know, from daylight saving to standard time.
Right.
And she just wants to have standard time. And she lives in Colorado, and she goes to Arizona in the winter. So now they're on the same time. But in March, when they change back, then Colorado will be at a different time than the other one. But anyway, on the looking at the big picture, it only makes sense to me to have daylight saving year-round. And then, you know, I mean, there's, yes, maybe the kids, by the time Christmas comes around or the January, they're you know, having to go to school in the dark or whatever, but it makes sense to me to just make it a year-round thing.
Yeah, and right now, Andy, we've got the option, and thanks for giving us a call. You are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Just Luke here today filling in, well, not filling in, but man in the fort, holding down both roles. But yeah, there's an option now for states to opt out of participating in daylight savings time, and the best one that comes to mind is Arizona. Arizona chooses not to adhere to daylight savings, and I just feel like there could be as well an option for states to just refuse to observe not daylight savings, I guess. But you can give us a call, 844-967-2789. Pizza Box Mike, what do you think about this topic?
Well, I just called my son and his family. They're in Colombia right now. They're like seeing the world, I guess. But anyway, he said they were the same time as us till we changed our clock. So for me, it's not as much a big deal because I kind of go to bed at like 8 and get up at 2, so it really isn't that big a deal. But I will say this, when we lose the hour or people have to get up an hour earlier when we go back forward.
Yeah, when we spring forward.
Yes, when you spring forward, if it's a weekday, it's like the biggest day for car accidents and heart attacks.
Yeah, yeah. The there's an article over at the USA Today that the back and forth, the switching back and forth is actually what's detrimental. And I can attest, like, yeah, the daylight savings jump in spring, like, wrecked me for like 10 days with the sleep schedule that I was on, because all throughout the up until March, it's getting brighter, it's getting brighter, it's getting brighter, and your body adjusts to that circadian rhythm. But then as soon as daylight savings and you spring forward, it was just completely different, and it was dark again. And I was like, oh my gosh, what? Like, it's disorienting. And I believe that the amount of car crashes, USA Today reports, it's just not healthy. But thanks for giving us a call this afternoon, Pizza Box Mike. Really appreciate you joining Dueling Tangents. Up next, we got Eileen and Madison calling in. Eileen, what are your thoughts?
Hi, thank you. I'm glad you brought this topic up. I've been thinking about it. And this is my rationale, that in the morning, people, the general population anyway, has a routine. They get up, they go to work, they go to school, they have kind of a schedule that they follow. And even if it's in the dark, it's the same schedule psychologically. Then at the end of the day, because when they can make decisions about what they would really like to do, the darkness in our area anyway, or where we live, is a hindrance to doing just spontaneous things, because we're mm-hmm. so restricted. We have to stay in the house, or we have to take lights out when we go walking or do anything. But at any rate, we don't have a regular routine. It's free time.
Yeah, Eileen, I really appreciate the call. It almost feels like you need to start getting ready for bed, and it's only 5 p.m. now. It's really weird. And so we'll dive a little bit more into this, but we got Sean Fetta Place coming up right after the break. You're listening to Dueling Tangents.